You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic physician, lecturer, author, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
With the increasing popularity of such foods as kale, acai, and quinoa, superfood has become a buzzword in healthy eating and lifestyle. Now, today on Wellness for Life, we have Sherry Torkis, who is here to discuss the misconceptions of superfoods. And right now, she's a pharmacist, health enthusiast, and author of 18 books and booklets, including Saving Women's Hearts, the Canadian Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine, and the Glycemic Index Made Simple. Great to have you here, Sherry. So excited to chat.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. So excited to have you here so we can chat about superfoods. It's really one of my favorite subjects. But before we jump into it, you know, I would like to know, why are there so many misconceptions out there about these wonderful ancient food remedies that, you know, our ancestors, medicine men, healers, have all passed down from generation after generation?
Yeah, I think it's funny because, you know, when we look at how medicine evolved, going back thousands of years, it was plants, it was food that was our medicine. And we relied on those medicines, and they were used by, you know, our ancient healers, our medicine men and women, and, you know, some of the early doctors to treat and prevent and manage different illnesses. And, you know, with the advent of the whole pharmaceutical revolution and the development of all these drugs and pharmaceuticals, and certainly, pharmaceuticals have saved lives and they're necessary in many cases. But, you know, we've stepped away, I think, too far from our roots. And, you know, we have to realize that there's really good science that has investigated the benefits of some of these superfoods that we're going to be touching on and how they can be very powerful for supporting good health. And so as a pharmacist and as someone who also is very passionate about educating people on the benefits of holistic therapies, I'm really excited to, you know, when I can talk to a patient about how they can use certain foods, whether it's to reduce their cholesterol or blood pressure or give them more energy or fight cold and flu. I mean, there are endless benefits when it comes to the healing powers of foods. But it is funny that, you know, still I think we're a bit torn in our society because we have this mainstream conventional medicine with all of these drugs and things like that. And sometimes there is conflicts of interest between the medical and the natural community. But I think that there is certainly room for both in our society. And I think that we need to realize that a lot of the ancient historical medicines that have been used over time, there's now science validating their benefits.
No, and that's absolutely true. And that's why we have everyone coming on Wellness for Life talking about natural medicine and holistic care. And, you know, you're one of the few pharmacists I know that are in that industry, that you're considered a holistic natural pharmacist. And I'm so happy to hear that. And you're giving in with your science background, you're still sharing about how foods and nutrients and nutrition is so important in everyday life. Sure, we all need drugs when we need them. But I think when it comes to day-to-day life and the chronic illnesses that we deal with here in America, and I'm sure in Canada as well, where you're from, we really need more people like you sharing this type of information. Now, kimchi, you know, I'm Korean, so kimchi is my favorite superfood. It's, you know, over 3,000, 4,000 years old, and we've been having it, you know, for so long. And we all know a lot about fermentation. Not everyone eats fermented foods, but I'd like to know, what's your favorite superfoods?
Oh, gosh, it's hard for me to boil it down to just one. I mean, I eat a ton of superfoods. Berries. Berries are some of my favorite superfoods. And I have a six-year-old boy, and it's funny because I talk to him all the time about why we eat certain things. And, you know, sometimes people don't give thought to what they're eating. It's just food. It fills their bellies, and they don't necessarily, especially kids, don't always understand, you know, why is mommy serving me these particular berries, or why are we having this for lunch or dinner? And so, you know, I always love to engage with my son, and also, you know, patients that I interact with when I'm working in the pharmacy. I can't really say I have one favorite superfood, but I could give you a short list of superfoods.
Yes.
I love berries. I love blueberries and raspberries and cranberries and blackberries. I think they're fantastic just because they're the berries, what makes them so colorful, the plant pigments, the anthocyanins, which provide just a wealth of nutritional benefits. They're good for the brain. They're good for the heart. They're good for your skin. Antioxidants, we know, are just so powerful as free radical scavengers and disease fighters. There's been, you know, some berries as well that have been studied specifically for particular health purposes. And we, you know, one example, and this is an ancient remedy that now has been shown through research to be beneficial, is the cranberry, which is often a food that's included, you know, this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas holiday, people are eating cranberries. And cranberries historically have been thought to be beneficial for bladder health, for fighting, for their ability to fight off bladder infections. Well, it's not just an old wives' tale or a folk remedy. There's actually been a number of clinical studies that have been done over the past few decades to show that, yes, in fact, cranberries can prevent bladder infections. And here's the thing, they've actually been compared head-to-head with antibiotics for preventing bladder infections and found to be just as effective. And what
Great.
I love about that as a pharmacist is, you know, yes, antibiotics, if you have a bladder infection, you may need one, but for prevention, I always encourage people, you know, you don't want to take antibiotics unless you absolutely need them, because there's the issue with resistance and developing yeast infections and diarrhea and all of those other problems. So if I'm talking to a woman that has a you know, increased likelihood of getting UTIs, men get them as well, bladder infections, then I, you know, suggest cranberry. And cranberry, not always easy to get through food. Certainly, their cranberries are tart, and cranberry juice has a lot of sugar. But there are supplements you can take, and one that I recommend, this ingredient called CranMax. It's an ingredient that's very powerful. It contains all of the benefits of the cranberry, the juice, the skin, the seeds, the pulp, in a supplement form, and it's actually backed by numerous clinical studies showing that it does, in fact, protect against bladder infections. So that's one area. But cranberries are not just good for the bladder. There's also been evidence to show they are heart healthy. They can have a positive effect on your blood lipid levels, and that they might help to fight off other infections in the gums, in the stomach, like H. pylori. So the benefits of berries really are tremendous.
Oh, I love that whole idea about cranberry, especially right now. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of different types of supplements out there that's made of cranberry. But I want to ask you this, is that if you're doing a more of preventive, how much do you take? Let's say you're about to, you know, I always recommend using mannose before having sex. It's a
yes.
Mannose is a type of sugar to prevent bacterial infections as well, UTIs. And if we already give this advice to a woman who gets UTIs around after having a sexual intercourse, how much should they take? In capsules, I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. So what I would recommend, so taking the CranMax, and again, that's the ingredient name. There are different branded products, but the CranMax ingredient, I would take 2 500-milligram tablets or capsules before intercourse, and then after intercourse. And there was, interestingly, a study that was done in France. Of course, leave it to the French to do a study on sex and UTIs. And they found that they just gave a single postcoital dose of the CranMax, and they found that it had a significant impact on reducing UTIs. And for those that are listening, you know, here's the thing. We know that in women, we're predisposed to bladder infections because of the closer proximity between the urethra and the rectal area. In the rectal area, we have E. coli. Even if you're super clean and you know, shower once or twice a day, we have E. coli in our bodies, and it can migrate during sex and the motions of sex. It migrates from the rectal area into the urethra, and that's what causes the UTI. So it's important to avoid before and after intercourse. Drink a lot of water, because if you're dehydrated, that increases your likelihood of getting an infection. And certainly the CranMax, a single dose, I would take 2 by 500 milligrams postcoital in the one study. They did it right after, I think it was within an hour after sex, and it was found to be dramatically effective in reducing the risk of UTIs. Other people that are at risk of UTIs, menopausal women because of thinning of the urovaginal areas, men that have enlarged prostate, they're also at risk, and also people that have catheters because of the inserting of the instrument into the urethra, they're also at risk of bladder infections.
Then I think that, as you're saying, we can use it as a preventive, 500 milligram capsule. That's awesome. I understand that you're from Canada, and I'm always interested in indigenous foods, you know, superfoods that might be from Canada. Is there anything special over there compared to North America? I'd say in America?
Well, where I live is right across the border from Buffalo, New York, and I live in the Niagara region, and one of the superfoods that is grown in this region, grapes, and we have a lot of wineries. And we know that there are tons of benefits with grapes and grape skin and grape seeds. And so I would say that that is one popular superfood. I can't say wine is a superfood necessarily, but grapes certainly are a superfood. You know, the people in the wineries would like to promote their wines as superfoods. But, yeah, wine is and grapes are big in the region where I live. And we know that there's been a lot of research on the antioxidant compounds that are in grapes and how they can have a positive effect on heart health. So that is one that is unique to this area. And another one of my favorite superfoods, which I had the opportunity to try many years ago. Now, they're easy to get in North America, but I love lychee. Mm. Lychee is just so, or lychee, depending on how you say it, but the lychee fruit, so delicious. And it's a tropical fruit, very, very popular in Asia, but also growing in other areas of the world, that not only is beautiful, but also has a remarkable ability to help fight aging from within. And it's become one of the most popular superfruits in Asia and certainly in North America because it can help to improve skin elasticity. There's been evidence to show, in fact, there have been over 30 clinical studies done on a compound that's in the lychee fruit, which is called oligonol. That's oligonol. It's a potent antioxidant, very rich in polyphenols. It has all these anti-aging properties. It's great for skin elasticity, reducing the brown spots and wrinkles. And it can also, and this is very fascinating, it's one of these unique antioxidants that can provide some UV protection. So you take it orally, and it protects your skin against the sun's rays. So rather than, you know, the topical blocking of the sun, this is a take inside, and you get those benefits. Again, over 30 studies have been done on this oligonol, this clinically researched form, this antioxidant that comes from the lychee fruit. And just fascinating, you know, when you think about this. And it's also good for the heart. It's good for heart health. It helps to increase blood flow. And so I think this is a powerful superfood. And in this day and age where everybody's looking to maintain their youth and their appearance and their vitality, I think this is one that I would put top of the list of considerations.
I love lychee fruit, and I know that most people have eaten lychee when they're in the cans, and I'm going to suggest everyone to see if you can find them fresh. It's very difficult to find them fresh, Sherry, right?
Yeah, it can be tricky. I mean, you have to sometimes go to an Asian market. You know, again, they're very popular in Japan and China. So if you live in an area where you have an Asian market, check it out. I mean, they are beautiful. You know, the first time I brought one home and I had my son try it, and he's always fascinated to try new fruits. And so, you know, we talk about it and where it comes from and just, you know, how fortunate we are with, you know, modern day the transportation of fruits and how we have the ability to try some of these things. I remember growing up as a child, which, you know, I'm 48 now, so when I grew up, you had to eat things that were just seasonal. We never had berries in the wintertime, but now, of course, where I live, we get things that are shipped in from California and beautiful places where we have the opportunity to have berries year-round.
Yes. And now, is there such thing as lychee in a capsule? We talk about the oligonols, these antioxidants. Are they
Yeah,
in?
you can get the oligonol. So oligonol is the compound that is derived from the lychee fruit, and it is in. You can get it in supplement form. There's a company, I believe it's Quality of Life, that has. They have a supplement form of this oligonol compound, and again, there's been some really substantial research done on this ingredient. Over 30 human clinical trials. Showing that this compound can help improve circulation, it can help protect the skin against the sun's rays, but also, again, improve elasticity and reducing wrinkles and brown spots. And those are issues that a lot of folks have. You know, as we get into our 20s, 30s, and 40s, depending on our sun exposure, you know, myself, I loved the sun, and in the 70s, I was so good in the 80s about wearing the sunscreen. Now I'm very careful about a natural sunblock. I wear a zinc product, but I still like to be out in the sun, so I'm always on the lookout for things that I can take orally that can protect my skin. Lychee and the oligonol is one that stands out at top of the list. But some other foods that you can take orally that do have a sun protective effect would be fish, omega-3, also tomato products, foods that are high in lycopene. So if you were to eat tomato sauce and salsa and things like that, even watermelon, it has some lycopene, and lycopene is another antioxidant that does provide some sun protection benefits.
Right. I like astaxanthin, which is also found in like spirulina products.
Oh, love
Astaxanthin is an
astaxanthin as
excellent.
well. Yes, astaxanthin is a, you know, super potent antioxidant, and yes, it's also been shown to have some very powerful benefits for skin health and for circulation as well.
Great. You know, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your book, Saving Women's Hearts. I know you said a few things on different superfoods for the heart, the blood vessels. I'd like to know what inspired you to write that.
Well, you know, this is something, heart disease is something that has affected me personally. I lost all four of my grandparents to heart disease, a grandfather who had a stroke, and then my other three grandparents who, one died of heart failure and the others of heart-related issues. And it's something that I have always been, mindful of in terms of, you know, what we can do to increase the message on how to protect your heart, how to know the early warning signs, and to take action. So I teamed up with a friend and a colleague that I actually went to university with shortly after I finished high school. We went to a school together in Ontario, McMaster University. And after McMaster, she went on to cardiology, and I went on to pharmacy school. And we reconnected many years later, and we said, "Yes, let's work on a book together where we can really focus on women and heart disease, because it's something that unfortunately a lot of women don't see themselves at risk of heart disease. They don't always think of it as top of mind. It's more of seen as a man's disease." And so we put together a book that really talks about both the conventional approach and the complementary or natural side of things. So myself, as a pharmacist who's passionate about natural medicine, in the book I write about a lot of things that people can do to protect their hearts from, you know, the exercise and stress management to sleep and using superfoods that we know are beneficial for heart health. And there's actually a lot of the book devoted to that.
You know, I'd like to ask you, is there any differences in the way the women's symptoms are? And when you're having heart trouble compared to men.
Well, we used to think that women might experience symptoms differently, but then there's been some, you know, further thinking that it might just be that women express it differently. The classic symptom of a heart attack is still that chest pain. But it's not just chest; it could radiate down the arm, up the neck, into the shoulder. For women, jaw pain as well seems to be something that is commonly noted. And something else that's come out is that women may have unusual fatigue in the day or two leading up to a heart attack. So kind of a sudden onset of just not well, feeling fatigued. That seems to be something that stands out as an early indicator with respect to having a heart attack. I would say that, you know, the sad reality is that from what I've read and researched, women often fare worse than men when they have a heart attack. And the reason for that is that women often delay getting treated. So they're more likely to dismiss their symptoms as heartburn or just not, you know, whatever. I'm just not feeling well. I'm stressed. I'm anxious. And also doctors in the past have been more likely to dismiss women when they show up at the emergency room as having depression or anxiety versus having a heart issue. And so I think it's important for women to realize that, yes, this still is our number one killer. Don't dismiss your health. If you have chest pain, if you're having shortness of breath, if you're having unusual pains in your neck or your shoulder or your jaw, unusual fatigue, get those things investigated. Every woman should be screened by her doctor for heart disease beginning at age 20, not when you're 50. At age 20, get screened. Know your blood pressure, your cholesterol, review your family history, and be proactive because heart disease is largely preventable. So it's not inevitable, it's preventable. It's our number one killer, but it doesn't have to be. There's so much that we can do to fight and protect against heart disease, but we have to know what those factors are. And the good news is that most of it is related to lifestyle. There's simple things that people can do to cut their risk. Not smoking, getting regular exercise, getting enough sleep at night, managing your stress, eating a healthy diet with lots of superfoods, and staying on top of your weight, making sure you manage keep a healthy body weight. Those factors alone can go a long way to protecting you against heart disease.
Right. I think that a lot of, you know, one of the silent killers, I should say, I didn't want to use a killer, but one of the factors that I find that we have trouble with is vitamin D, having enough vitamin D, and knowing that vitamin D receptors are in the heart muscles as well, in the heart and the blood vessels. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is very fascinating because, you know, the benefits of vitamin D over the past 10 years, we've just learned so much about how important vitamin D is. And this is a nutrient that in where I live in Canada, I believe it's 11 million Canadians, so a third of our population is deficient in vitamin D. So, you know, very important vitamin D for heart health, but there's also evidence in so many other areas from diabetes to brain health to the obvious bone health, but also immune health. This is the time of year people are getting a lot of colds and flu. There's been evidence correlating low levels of vitamin D with increased likelihood of getting infections. So a ton of reasons why you should supplement with vitamin D. And even in areas in California where, you know, people have more sun exposure, they're wearing sunscreen, which blocks vitamin D production in the skin. So again, vitamin D supplements are just critical.
Right. If you've ever seen me, you know, I'm really dark. I'm always in the sun. And living in Santa Monica in Southern California, we get more sun. But even so, Sherry, I don't have the vitamin D. I've got a genetic issue. And a lot of us have that, and that we're not even aware of it. And these gene variants called VDR, TAC, VDR, BSM. Anyway, I can't make it very well. That's the problem in my body. So I actually have to take vitamin D3 regularly. And I like my levels to be anywhere from 60 to 80, which is the number that you look at when you get your blood tested. And I find that if that's the case, then insomnia gets better. Individuals who've got sleep apnea, in fact, it's related to vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah, vitamin D is just so involved in so many body processes and so vital for health. And, you know, you raise a good point about people that have a genetic variation that can predispose them to not being able to make enough vitamin D, and people that for sure that have darker skin pigments and more melanin in their skin, which makes it more challenging as well to make vitamin D. And if people taking certain medications, drugs can actually deplete vitamin D in the body as well, which is something that, you know, a lot of people don't often think about when they're taking prescription medications. I mean, you get that list from the pharmacy of various side effects and interactions and so forth, but vitamin D can also be depleted by certain medications, for example, anticonvulsant drugs, also drugs that are taken to manage acid in the stomach like cimetidine, ranitidine, even cholesterol-lowering drugs can lower vitamin D in the body.
That's right. Well, that's good to hear. All that's important, you know. when sometimes I get patients coming in, they've got 3 to 5 different drugs that they're on. And the doctors really don't know the interactions between that. And I think the pharmacist is really the key, that the patient needs to talk to the pharmacist about each drug and how they might interact. You understand,
absolutely,
right?
Oh, for sure. That's the role of the pharmacist. You know, we don't just fill the prescriptions. We actually play an active role in overseeing and managing and preventing drug interactions. So we don't always know there's like thousands of possible drug interactions, but we have very good computer software programs that can alert us to interactions, and then we can look at them and evaluate them and see whether they're potentially problematic or so, and then advise the patient on how to manage or prevent that possible interaction.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know what? Tell us about where we can find more about you and about your books and all that you're doing.
For sure. So you can check out my website, and that is sherrytorkos.com, S-H-E-R-R-Y-T-O-R-K-O-S. Go to sherrytorkos.com. You can read more about my books, and I'll also have information on my website about what we were discussing today, this whole topic about ancient remedies and superfoods and some things that, you know, I think can make a very powerful impact on people's health.
Well, thank you, Sherry. God, you're a wealth of information. I'd love to have you come back and talk more about what you're excited about, how you're helping other people feel so much better every single day. Really appreciate you being here. Thank you. Great information.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure. And I encourage folks, again, if they have questions, want more information, just check out my website, sherrytorkos.com.
Great. I'll also put a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page on radiomd.com. Now, thank you so much. Until next time, go out there and have a blast. Live your best life full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate wellness today. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Stay well.